Verily I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today we rejoice as a parish on the 28th anniversary of the foundation and formation of a fountain of grace that is flowing out into the desert places, that those who repent and desire forgiveness may come here to take a deep drink of the love of God and experience His salvation. And so we see in the gospel lesson today how Jesus explains to us and shows to us the kingdom of heaven. And the context is that He's at dinner, and there are some at the table that are wondering why He's eating with publicans and sinners. Like, who invited these people to the table? And the publicans would have been the tax collectors, who were generally despised because they have been co-opted among the Jewish people to help collect taxes for the Roman Empire. So, and also they were considered ritually unclean always because they handled pagan money. So they were marginalized already. Why would Jesus have anything to do with them? And then also the sinners were notable people who were notable sinners that were obviously not following the commandments of God. Why would He have anything to do with them? Those who were separate, who had separated themselves, were holy, began to ask Him these questions. Why do you eat with these kind of people? It doesn't make sense. You should be with us, the religious people, the ones who are clean. And Jesus explains to them the nature of the kingdom by telling the parables. And He speaks unto them the parable of the lost sheep, the one who is found by the good shepherd, and then also the parable of the lost coin. He shows to them how indeed precious are those who are lost in the eyes of God. Now the Gospels, they are a mirror unto us. They show us who we are if we look at them with the eyes of faith, with the ears of faith, if we will truly hear them. And we might ask ourselves, you know, who am I in this picture? Am I one of those sinners that is coming to hear Jesus, that has an interest in what He might say? And if He tells me, go and sin no more, I'll go rejoicing into a new life. But am I interested in what Jesus has to offer? Or am I like one of the righteous ones, who, like the publican, who, like in the Pharisee in the parable of the publican and the Pharisee, said, I thank the God that I'm not as other men are. I'm not like this publican. Am I being like that? Remember, the one who is righteous in his own eyes tends to despise others, holds them in contempt because they are not as holy as they are. So where am I at in this parable? And in this scenario? And how do the parables speak to me? Now the parables open out to us the marvelous love of God. The good shepherd who goes to find that sheep which is lost leaves the other 99 in the safe place and goes to find the one that has wandered off. And he is successful. It shows us how the Lord is. The Lord is always successful in finding those who are lost. And those of us who have been lost and have been found know that He is very diligent in the seeking. He will find those who are lost and bring them back, restore them. And He brings them back. He brings the sheep over His shoulders, comes home rejoicing that which is lost is now found, and has others rejoice with Him. And says, verily I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. More joy over that than over the 99 which need no repentance. So the angels of heaven rejoice over the sinner that repents. This is instructive to us. Do we read in the Bible about the angels of heaven rejoicing when somebody wins the lottery? They're suddenly made rich. They won the $500 million sweepstakes. Are the angels rejoicing? Maybe indifferent. You know, good luck with that. That's a lot to steward, maybe they're saying. I don't know. What about if somebody finishes an advanced degree and they've added more letters to their name? Do the angels of heaven rejoice over that? They may have been protecting the student and helping them along the way, but we don't hear about the whole company of heaven getting in on the action. Or what about if somebody gains more power in a political race? They win a seat of power, or they win a contest on the field of battle, and now they have more territory. Angels of heaven rejoicing over that one? We don't hear about the angels of heaven rejoicing. They may have been involved in the contest in some way or other, but it's not like the whole company of heaven is involved. But when one sinner repents, then there is rejoicing. We hear the same thing in a different parable about the woman who loses a silver coin, one of ten. She has to light a candle, search diligently until she finds it. This shows us the nature of the kingdom of God. God is patiently seeking the lost until he finds them. And when they are found, the woman calls her neighbors together to rejoice that which is lost is now found, has been restored. That sheep which was lost, that coin which is lost, these are things very dear to those people. The shepherd has a heart for his sheep. The woman has a heart for that which was hers that is lost. In the same way, God diligently seeks those whom he has made in his own image. And he seeks them with his passion, with the gift of his Son. The Son of God seeks for them with his own lifeblood. The Holy Spirit seeks for them with all the grace that is conveyed through the saving mysteries of Christ. That is God's posture toward those who are wayward and lost. And now, in the redemptive work of Christ, in this time of the church, now animated by the Holy Spirit, as Christ indwells us, that is our portion too. We are to seek those who are lost and bring them into the way of faith. Christ for the world we sing, the world to Christ we bring, with joyful hearts, the poor and them that mourn, the faint and overborne, sin-sick and sorrow-worn, whom Christ doth heal. That's what we're about as a Christian people, bringing others into the way of faith, that they may rejoice and be glad in newness of life. Go and sin no more. We don't help them justify their sins. We help them get delivered from their sins and strike out on the pilgrim path to glory. I was very blessed in early ministry to see God at work in this very action of the church. When I heard the sad news from my sister about her friend Linda, who at the Christmas time, my sister had called to reconnect. And somebody else answered the phone and said, "Oh, she's not here. She got beat up and she's in the hospital." We'd never heard news like that as a family. One of our family friends getting beat up. My sister went immediately to the hospital to see, and indeed, her friend was just had finished college, but now was in hard times. She was getting involved with people that would get her drunk and then beat her up. And she wasn't able to get out of this weird place. And I said to my sister, "Let's see if we can't bust her out of that, you know, weird situation she's in and get her down to Arizona, down to Phoenix, for a little breath of fresh air and some sunshine." You know, Salt Lake in the wintertime gets a temperature inversion. It can be very cold and dark. And so I called the sisters at Canaan in the Desert, Dr. Sister Josepha, and I said, "Could this woman, Linda, come make a little retreat for 4 or 5 days at Canaan?" I said, "I don't know what we're dealing with, honestly, and here's the situation," and laid it out for her. And I said, "You know, if she doesn't go along with what a good stay would be, I can take her out immediately and get her home. And if things get really wild, we'll just call the police, you know." And Sister Josepha said, "Yes, bring her by all means." She didn't hesitate. "Bring her, let her come." So when Linda came, she came in a strange way. One of her boyfriends came and dropped her off at her house. And I opened the door, and inside the car was chaos. It was all fast food wrappers and a half-eaten jar of pickles, and a sleeping bag kind of fell out into the driveway. And she looked herself in terrible shape. She was bloated, not clear-eyed. She stunk. I mean, this was a problem. And she really needed help. I wasn't sure where this was really going to go. But I said goodbye to this man that gave her the ride and sent him on his way. And then we got her to Walgreens for some sundries and then brought her to Canaan. When we got to Canaan, at that time they had 16 sisters. And they greeted her in a building they named Jesus Delight, their guest center. And they all stood in a semicircle around her and they sang a welcome to her, that God would bless her. It was a beautiful welcome for somebody that you really wouldn't want to welcome. If you took a look at them, you'd be like, "We'll just let them go. I don't want to deal with them." No, they give a warm welcome to this woman who is in a place of chaos and in trouble. And the next day I got a call from one of the co-workers at Canaan, and she said, "Bad news, Father Dart. Last night Linda got drunk." And I was like, "Ah, are you serious?" And she'd gotten drunk on Listerine that she'd bought at the drugstore on the way to Canaan. Now, you know somebody's really in trouble if they're getting drunk on mouthwash. But yeah, she was, and so at that point, Sister Josepha said, look, she really needs more help than we can give. She needs Teen Challenge. Anybody ever heard of Teen Challenge? Yeah, it's a ministry, a very effective ministry. They've been very effective in helping people get delivered from addiction. And Phoenix City once had their director in to say, we want to fund you guys because you're so successful. I mean, a lot of rehabs will have maybe, if they're good, a 25% after 18 months still sober. Theirs is like 85, 90%. And they said, we'll fund you if you can just not talk so much about the religious part. So if in the applications don't say anything about Jesus. And the director said, no Jesus, no cure. So we'll find the money somewhere else. So anyway, we called around and they had one place at the women's center in Yuma. So we started praying, please, please, for this woman, please grant. And sure enough, the director said, well, we usually have a waiting time, but I can see the urgency. She needs a physical exam, then we can receive her. So she went for a physical exam. There was a missionary doctor that knew the sisters, and he made, you know, an opening for her the next day. And he told her, look, you are so toxic that if you get drunk like that one more time, it may kill you. Your body can't handle this anymore. You're on the edge. So she made a repentance prayer at Kenan, and then off we were down to drive to Yuma. And in the back seat, I was chauffeur, and then Sister Josepha and Linda were in the back seat of the car, driving down to Yuma, Arizona. And all the way, Sister Josepha was singing songs that the mother of their convent had written. Mother Basilia Schlink was a fountain of hymns. Thousands of hymns came out of that woman. And she was singing them on the way down, giving her hope. She was saying, look, you're going to get delivered from this. Your life is going to change. God is going to, who's forgiven your sins, is going to cleanse you and purify you. You're going to have a bright future. She was singing hymns of victory. The Lamb shed blood on Calvary has overcome the enemy. His precious blood brings victory, etc. On the way down, singing and giving her encouragements. So once she was ensconced in the program, Teen Challenge, no contact. The person doesn't contact family or friends. They have a time just to, all those relationships need to be reassessed because they're complicated things. So anyway, for about 3 months, there's no contact. But pastoral provision, I was able to go down after about 8 weeks to see Linda and Yuma. So I drove down there again and go through the lettuce fields and out in the farmland. There was a big house, maybe 20 women were there. Walked up the driveway, knocked on the door, and the woman that answered the door set me immediately at peace because I thought, oh, my friend Linda's in a good place. She just had such a beautiful aspect, this woman. I thought, if she's with people like this, she's going to be safe. And the woman that I saw was, well, first she was beautiful. She had a beautiful countenance. Her hair was pulled back. She had a nice dress on. And she just had a really bright eyes. And it took me about a half minute to realize I was looking at Linda. She's the one who answered the door. Yeah. Transformation. She came to Christ. She was delivered of sin. She started a new life. She eventually became married and had a career at a university as a researcher, had some children. I think she had two daughters, has two daughters. And years later, I talked to my sister. I said, by the way, how's Linda doing? She said, oh, well, she's in a tough patch right now, but, you know, of all my friends, she's doing the best because she's going through hard times with the Lord. Yeah, living life with Jesus. So this is what we're after. This is the gospel in action. This is the redemption taking place. Our heart for those who are lost, that they may come in and be saved, that they may come in and be purified, sanctified, made ready for the joys of heaven. That's why this church has been established here. 28 years of grace flowing. And may we participate anew in our own lives of repentance to receive new mercies from God on high. And may we have an eye for others, and like the Good Shepherd, go seeking the lost, that they too may share in the joy that Jesus has brought to us through his victory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.